The kids are already heading to kids zone, so we're so glad. Hey, Dean, how's it going, buddy? Well, if this is your first time with us, or if it's been a while for you, my name is Chip Ward. I'm the minister here at Lexington Christian Church. And last week, we started a brand new set of sermons. And the way these kind of sermons are going to work throughout the year, we're going to be talking about different people in the Old Testament. So I've entitled it the Old Testament Chronicles, kind of like the Chronicles of Narnia, so to speak, in that light in particular. But we are started off last week talking about the aspects of the life of Moses and how we talked about how God called him. God set him apart. God gave him the responsibility to lead the people of Israel out of slavery. And through that, we discovered that he wasn't so eager to want to do that. Because sometimes when God calls us, we shy away from it sometimes. We allow our own insecurities, our thinking that we're so fallible that we can't answer that call of God. And God says otherwise. He works through us by his love, his grace, and with us. Today, we're going to take another aspect of the life of Moses as we learn how he sharpened his leadership skills and how he got better at them. And so we're going to take a moment and let's pray together. I'm going to be honest, I have a little bit of a heavy heart this morning. Just a couple of things that I've heard from this past week that just really touched me in that sense. The family, the man family. Got to me this week, hearing that you're almost on the verge of having a child, and it goes away. Folks, you can't take it for granted, and so you never know. So I will take a moment and pray for their family as we enter this time of prayer. Let's pray together. Father, just come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, there are times that even myself wonder, have a hard time seeing how death is no respecter of persons. So, Father, I just want to lift up the man family, Dana, her husband, and just Father, I hope if they hear this, that they would know that we're praying for them. If they need love, I pray that they'll see that we want to love on them and help them through this very difficult time. Father, I know there's so many other needs as well. In our world, that, and even right here in our home, in our own town, where we just know that we need you. We need you, your presence. We need your spirit. We need you to infuse us. We need you to be there when our hearts are crumbling, our hearts are crushed. And God, we just know that somehow, some way, you can bring peace, you can bring comfort in the moments that we need. And so, Father, I just lift these up to you. I lift up the man family to you. And for those that are struggling with illnesses, Father, I lift them up to you, Father. Terminal illnesses. I just want to lift up little Jake this morning as well, as that got to me as well, God. And I just pray, God, for your peace and your spirit to help us, comfort us in moments where it's tough and life can get to us. So we thank you, God, so much for who you are. Thank you for being a faithful God. That despite our mess ups, our moments where we know we disappoint you, but your love and grace is right there for us, and you meet us right where we're at. So thank you, God. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Like I said, today we're going to take a look at some of the Moses' leadership qualities. Because remember, the one thing about Moses, I think from what we got last week, that Moses is not have you guys ever heard the phrase, a natural born leader? I don't think he would fit in that category. I don't know who in the world came up with that phrase, but sometimes you think it applies to people and some it doesn't. I've kind of come to understand, as I've learned a little bit more about leadership in its sense, that there's really not such a thing as it. Maybe there's some people that are gifted, have a certain way of doing things that makes them think they're a natural born leader. But there's really not such thing, because we're all at some point taught. It depends on how far we want to take it in so many respects. But, you know, with Moses, it was a different situation for him. Like, for instance, I think about my own life, and I probably didn't really get serious about leadership until probably about 10 years ago. I was, when my younger days in ministry, just getting started, I was a little bit cocky. I thought that I was the best thing since sliced bread when I came to a church at one point. And God humbled me. God helped me understand that that's not the case. You need to adjust yourself. You need to adjust your thinking. And so through that, there's times I just thought, well, I'm just someone that's paid and people look up to me in this sense. But, of course, now today, a lot of the kids that I used to minister to can now either look me in the eye or look down on me in that sense. But in that case, though, God really began to work in my heart and help me understand what true leadership was all about. And he wanted me to embrace the idea of truly becoming a leader. So you think about leaders in general throughout the world, and there's a lot of different names that can pop up. As I was researching this for the sermon today, I went to Forbes. Forbes is a company that publishes different things and so forth, and they published a top 50 leaders in the world back in 2014. And so a couple of names you'll probably recognize. Go ahead and put up the next screen. That they consider is Pope Francis, who was the most recent pope in our generation. Warren Buffett, even old Bono from U2, and then the Dalai Lama, who actually won a Nobel Prize. So there's a couple of quotes there from those guys. I'm not necessarily read those or anything like that, but that's Forbes consider those guys probably in like the top 10. But there's a few names that you probably and faces you've never heard of, but they have significant influence in our world today. One of the first ones, see if you recognize this person. His name is Jeff Bezos, or Bezos, however you pronounce it. Anybody ever heard of him at all? Not at all? Well, you'll be interesting to know that he is actually the CEO of Amazon. How many of you use Amazon? Amazon Prime or anything like that? Yeah, so go figure. He's a very prominent person, and Amazon has changed a lot of how we do goods and services. The next person is Howard Schultz. Will anybody recognize him from a crowd or anything like that? How many guys like coffee? How many guys like Starbucks coffee? He's the CEO of Starbucks. And their company has just, they're one of the rare companies where if you have a part-time job, you can get full benefits, which is really interesting. Another guy is named Fred Smith. Anybody want to take a guess at maybe who Fred Smith might be the CEO of?
FedEx,
exactly. Yes, indeed. And they're still a prominent part of the world in getting shipments and so forth all throughout the world. Another is, you might not know this one, this is a relatively new person, Tim Cook. I don't know if anybody has ever heard of Tim Cook. I wouldn't have known who Tim Cook was unless your name happens to be someone that he knew named Steve Jobs. And if you know who Steve Jobs is, he was the creator and CEO of Apple. He is now the new CEO of Apple. And now you can actually get one of those new iPhone X's and get facial recognition to open up your phone. How about that? Finally, one more. And I know the younger generation will appreciate this. This is a lady named Susan. I'm going to probably brutalize her name, and she probably has had this brutalized. And I'm not the only one to do this. Wojcicki. And why I think the younger generation will appreciate her is because she is the CEO of the very popular social media outlet called YouTube, where YouTube has so millions and millions of different videos that are popping up. They're the ones that seem to get the whole viral video trending. Some of the things that you might see that you might want to share on Facebook or something like that. They have a way of just filtering through all the different videos that are published throughout the world. And some of them can make headlines. It's incredible. So, you know, those kind of leaders, you know, you think about, well, they're world leaders. What about in the church? Well, obviously you have your leaders that are in the Bible that you read about. But there's other names throughout of God-fearing people that just love God and want to serve Him. People that I've heard of that actually put a thing on leadership, and that's names like Bill Hybels, David Jeremiah, Beth Moore, Rick Warren, Louis Giglio, Chris Tomlin, and obviously the late Billy Graham. And so there are so many different people that God uses all throughout the world. But with the men of the Bible, we've been looking at Moses in particular. I mean, think about Moses for a second here. Who can claim? He is probably one of the most well-known leaders in all of Israel, outside of possibly King David, possibly outside of Elijah. Who else can say they led a nation out of slavery? Who else can say that they saw God on a mountain, actually with God's own hand, writing in a tablets of stone specific commandments that He would hand to him to share with the people? I mean, who else also has like laws and specific commandments written that say the law of, I mean, just imagine, my goodness, here's the law of Greg Clinney. Can you imagine that? He's already imagining it, I promise you already. But to think, the law of Rodney, and if it was the law of Rodney, we'd all be saying Roll Tide. Okay? But the law of Moses, who else could, I mean, can you imagine that? To live up to that kind of legacy. But here's the thing about Moses. And I think if Moses were here today, he would come to all of us and say, listen, it's not about what I accomplished. It's about who I put my trust in. And that's what Moses did. He had established himself finally as a leader. After going through the trials, after going through the things that he needed to just put his faith in, he put his faith in God to put those 12 or those plagues in Egypt. He put his faith in God to be the one to actually speak out and lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, going through the trials they went through. He had established himself as the man, and everyone looked up to him. But even Moses needs a little bit of guidance. Even he needed a little bit of influence. So we're going to talk about an aspect of Moses' life today that probably gets overlooked a little bit, but it was a key moment for him in his leadership. So let's take a look at the book of Exodus chapter 18. Okay, and as you open your Bibles to Exodus 18, here's an opportunity for us to glean a little bit of some leadership principles. Even if you are a leader, wherever you are, or you run your own business, maybe you are a follower, maybe you just work under someone, but maybe you might have an influence in that leader's life. We're going to take a look at these very special moments here that Moses got here in Exodus 18, verses 5 through 9. And then we're going to jump down to 13, verse 24. So let's read together. I'm going to read you from the English Standard Version, but feel free to read in your own version. And, of course, the words will be on the screen. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness when he was encamped at the mountain of God. And when he sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and two sons with her. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. When Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that they had come upon them in the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the good that the Lord had done to Israel, and that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Now, skipping down to verse 13. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Well, because the people come to me to inquire of the God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and His laws." And Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for this the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now, obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God. And you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them known in the way they must walk and they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and they hate a bribe. And place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands and of hundreds, of fifties and tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you, you will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace." And so Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Here's Moses. He's in a situation here. He's sharing. He see father-in-law. It's nice to have an outside perspective, isn't it? Sometimes. One of the big thing, leadership things that I was taught a while back, you have to be careful of, is sometimes you have blind spots. Sometimes you can't see certain things because you have tunnel vision in a certain area. And sometimes you do have to have an outside perspective to come in and take a look and say, "You know what? I know this might be hard for you to hear, but you really need to hear this and heed this advice." And for Moses, I can only imagine, you know, depends on, I guess, who you are, but he was getting advice from his father-in-law. Now, some of us, you might think about that, like, well, how was their relationship? Because you never know. Because sometimes having a relationship with a family member is not easy at times. There's going to be times you have good moments, and there's going to be times that there's going to be things that will divide you. And depending on where you are in life, you may not want advice from a relationship, from a family member, even if it's well-meant. You have the best intentions of it. So, for instance, if you have a family member that's trying to give you advice on romance, you might want to be thinking about, all right, who's the person that's giving me the advice, and should I accept that advice based on their history of romance? Well, here's some other aspects to think about if you're getting advice from a family member. Would you ask a family member, think about your family right now, okay? Would you get advice about financial matters? Would you get advice about searching for a job? Would you get advice from them on anger management? How about organizing your paperwork or your files at home? How would you get advice from a family member on dealing with a salesperson on the phone? How about would you get advice from a family member on hitting a baseball? How about writing a last will and testament? Or, for even that matter, how about getting advice from a family member on how to lead others? Well, fortunately, Moses and his father-in-law Jethro had a very good relationship. Moses trusted his wife and children to Jethro when God called him to free the Israelites. Just as Jethro trusted Moses with his daughter. Moses also knew that Jethro was respected Because if we remember what we learned last week, Jethro was a priest of God in Midian. And in those days, priests understood order and structure very well. They followed it to a T. So the fact that Jethro had a little bit of experience in this area gave him credibility to share this with Moses. So it certainly sounded like Jethro knew what he was talking about. So with the time we have remaining, just from what you've read and looked at so far, there's three leadership truths that the Bible has to give us and so that we can reference as a part of Moses' life here. So let's take a moment and glean into these real quick. The first is that good leaders are open to good advice. Good leaders are open to good advice. Because here's the thing, people love to give advice about all sorts of different circumstances, but it doesn't mean it's the right advice. So for instance, if I go to a medical doctor, and a medical doctor is trying to tell me how to fix an automobile, am I going to put a lot of clout into what a medical doctor is saying, who knows how to heal the human body, but he's trying to give me advice on how to fix a car? Not that he's a knowledgeable guy and everything, but you're a doctor. You work on blood. A mechanic works on oil. So, for instance, I'm glad we have a great mechanic in the house in Josue. I tell you what, I like that guy. Because you know why? Because he has dedicated his life to learning how to fix vehicles. All different types of vehicles and so forth. So, for a nice plug, go to Four Brothers, right in downtown Lexington, if you need your car fixed. Sound good, Josue? Alright, he's got thumbs up, he says. Thumbs up. You know what? If I'm not gonna go to a plumber to try to get an electrical outlet fixed, right? Now, surely, there are people who are what we call jack of all trades, but there's just a little bit more, I feel better if I get advice from someone who understands a certain area better than I do. So as a good leader is going to listen to the best advice he can get in many different areas. So when you're trying to discern which advice to take, there's no better person to turn to than the person who has literally seen and probably done it all, and that's God. Especially if you're needing spiritual advice. In fact, one man that God gave a lot of wisdom to was a guy by the name of Solomon. He was a king of Israel. He's the wisest king in the history of Israel, simply because he asked God for the wisdom to govern the country. If you don't understand the story, God gave him, hey, listen, you can ask me for whatever you want. You can ask me for power, for fame, for wealth. And he probably thought about all those things, but he went to the Lord and said, no, God, I need the wisdom to be the best leader I can be. And what did God do? He not only gave him that, but he gave him everything else in between. Because he asked for the right thing. In fact, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 and 21 actually say this. Listen to these words from one of Israel's wisest kings. Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And I think there's a truth that we can really glean from right there. And that is, the purpose of the Lord brings clarity to your purpose in life. And I think that's key. When you understand the aspects of your life and you are putting it in the Lord's hands, He brings clarity. You're able to see a little bit better what the world needs, what the world's about, through the eyes of God. So the purpose of the Lord brings clarity to your purpose in life. And the Bible has a great deal of good advice on so many circumstances. And I encourage you, if you ever get a chance, If you got a circumstance you're going through, write it down and then search the scriptures. And you know what? The internet has revolutionized how we can look up scriptures and how we can look them up by topic, by circumstance. And we can easily just go to the Bible for that. But if you can't find your specific thing specifically, here's what I encourage you to do. Look at the root of what's going on. Search it through. Dig through it. And you'll find that if there's something at the heart of what's going on in your life, the Bible has the answer you're looking for. In fact, we talked about anger management earlier, about a family member looking at that. Let's look at what the Bible says about anger for a moment. James chapter 1, verse 19 through 20 says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." It's a great scripture. Write that one down if you want to. You can look it up later. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Simple little phrase there. From the mouth of Solomon himself. Psalm 103, verse 8, Solomon's dad, David, said this, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." So if we imitate God, if we want to be imitators of God, one of the ways we imitate God is to be slow to anger. And to understand that our God has steadfast love and He is abounding in it. So it's good to be open to good advice. And as you do that, watch your life grow. It's going to be an amazing thing. The second point of the three leadership principles that I want us to learn today is not only are good leaders are open to good advice, but good leaders lead with humility. The good leaders lead with humility. Moses could have easily... Remember, all the people were looking up to him now. They went to him with everything. And when you have that kind of power, it can go to your head. You can think that, man, I am the answer for all these people. I have every answer to every question they have. And Moses could have taken that position, told his father-in-law, "Listen, I'm sure you mean well, but you know what? I haven't seen you in a long time. It's been years. I think I know what's best. I've been around these people enough." It's easy to fall into that mentality. But notice that Moses decided to take the high road. He decided to accept his father-in-law's advice on a matter that his father-in-law just clearly saw would have just absolutely worn him out. So it's important to lead with humility. And I tell you what, I told you earlier that in my early years of ministry, I was a little cocky and thought I was the best thing that my first church could have had. And God humbled me. God showed me that I had the wrong attitude. And so in my second ministry, I was blessed to come under a man who I have a ton of respect for today. And that is my father-in-law, Len Einan. I want to show you a picture here of him. Hopefully one day you guys will get a chance to meet him one day. He and I, this was taken last year when we went to the new, brand new ballpark in Atlanta, Georgia. This is at SunTrust Park. It is the coolest bobblehead I have ever seen in my life. So cool. But I tell you what, though, before I ever married Megan, he was my boss. He was the minister of Woodstock Christian Church. I was hired on as the youth minister at the time. And through my experience with him, I gained so much understanding of grace, humility, yet firmness, you know, to love people. And in fact, I asked him before I even took this position. I said, "Dad, what advice can you give me as I head into being the minister, the lead minister of a church?" He said two things to me. "Stay true to God's word." And he said, "Love people." And taking that away, I learned those things from him. Even before and after marrying Megan and entering into their family, he had a big, huge love for so many different things. He loved preaching. He was and still is a great preacher. He's actually not the senior minister of that church anymore, but he still is the pastoral care minister of Woodstock Christian Church. So he still has a heart, a touch on the people, and those people love him. Why? Because he loved on them first. And he loved them with the love of God. You know, just seeing how he would show wisdom, show grace, and to show me how to root for the Atlanta Braves. In fact, some of our best moments is when we have gone, even before we got married, Megan, was going to a Braves game. Sitting down, talking with him, and I'll never forget the reaction he had when Tom Glavine signed with the New York Mets. He was irate. But I tell you what, it showed me his passion. Not only did he have passion for his Braves, he had a passion for the preaching of the Word of God. And he's the one that actually encouraged me to say, Chip, you know what? One day, you really can be minister of your own church. I felt like I didn't deserve that. And Megan can attest to it. I fought it for a long time. Until recently. And so I had to lean on mentors. I had to lean on people. In fact, Lynn Einen now, I consider it not only my father-in-law, but a mentor in ministry. And I hope that you will find people in your life, in the areas that you concentrate in, that you'll find people that you trust. I hope that in time, for spiritual matters, you will trust me. I'll go ahead and tell you right now, I'm not perfect by any means or stretch of the imagination. But I will do my best to help you get closer to God. I will do my best. In fact, thinking about humility, it takes that to truly lead. Because if you, as a leader, and we'll talk about this here in just a moment, if you're not connecting with your people, you're not a leader. You have to have humility with that. And here's some scriptures that go along with that. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. Another scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Another scripture is in 1 Peter. That's a good scripture. Chapter 5, verses 5 through 6 says this. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. And then finally, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. One of my favorite scriptures, actually. It says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not only look to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And others have said, you should have the attitude of Christ. That is the attitude of Jesus Christ. He was humble in every circumstance, every aspect. So as you lead, or as you help your leaders, lead with humility. Finally, leads me to the third point here. Is leadership is influence. And influence comes from God. Leadership is influence. And influence itself comes from God. Not only do I look at my father-in-law as the personal mentor in my life, there's another person that I've actually learned a lot of leadership in itself, was from a guy named John Maxwell. I think some people may have heard of him, some may not, not necessarily. But what he is, he was a former pastor of a church, but he felt God call him to be a person who taught others how to lead. So he's actually started an organization called the John Maxwell Leadership Team. And one of his mantras, statements that he's just said for years, is that leadership is influence. And some people wonder, well, what does that mean? Well, to influence someone means to take an interest in the life of someone else. That you are willing to say, I'm going to not think about myself for a moment. I want to focus on who a person is, what their needs are, and how can I help put value in their life. He says that a lot. And that's something that I've adopted in my own life. That I want to add value to the people. And when I add value to people, you gain influence with people. And one of the big things, in fact, but the thing about influence is there's no one better who's a better influencer than Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of from Mark chapter 10. Verses 42 through 45, Jesus was basically ending a dispute that his disciples were having amongst each other. They were finding out that two of the brothers with their mom went to Jesus and said, will you let one of my two sons here or both my sons sit at your right hand or your left hand? And Jesus told them, listen, that's not for me to decide. But then the disciples heard about this and they were indignant of those two other disciples. This is what Jesus had to say to them. He quickly crushed this. Catch these words. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. For whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. I think it's important for us to understand that leadership's not lording over. To think that you are above everyone else. That's not the case. That's not what Jesus teaches here. So in fact, there's three things on how to influence people that I want to share with you. And I'm not going to dive into a whole bunch of these by detail. But I just want to share these with you if you're just curious as to how to influence people for Jesus. The first thing you do is you influence by serving. That's the first thing. You serve people. You make a difference in their life. You find ways in which you can serve to influence others. The second one, and I'm going to define this one here, is influence by praying with people. Let me explain this. Lexington Christian Church has a reputation for being a praying church. Okay? That needs to continue. And it's great when you hear of a prayer request and say, well, I'll pray for you. But when you actually go the extra step, go to that person, take them by the hand, and say, let me pray with you. Put an arm on their shoulder. Put your arm around their shoulder. And pray with them right there. Whoa, I can see somebody right now. Wait a minute, Chip. You want me to go that far? What if I mess up? What if I don't know what to say? What did we learn about last week? What about Moses? What was it that he said to God? I'm not an eloquent speaker. I'm not good with my speech. And what did God say? Who made man his mouth? Who made woman their mouth? I will give you the words to say. God will work with you. If you want to have influence, you want to have true influence spiritually in someone's life, pray with the person, not just for the person. You see the difference? There is a difference. Because it's easy to say, I'll pray for you, and not judging whether you do or not. I'm just telling you, if you want to have true spiritual influence, pray with them. Go to their house. Talk to them. Invest in them. Serve them. And then pray with them. And finally, through all of that, you can influence by loving others. What we've been doing for a person in our church recently, providing meals because they had a health concern. Loving people, no matter what their circumstances is. You know, Moses was influenced by his father-in-law to think about how to govern the people better. And you know what? I love what that last verse says there, is that he listened to the words, he took them to heart, and he put them into practice. He decided that instead of all the matters, he'd handle the big matters and trust others to handle the smaller matters. And I think it revolutionized Moses. That influence of his father-in-law took his leadership from here to here. Our ultimate leader is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in Him and through Him that we have the opportunity to look at ourselves and say, do I want to be someone who is a leader? If I am a leader, how can I become a better leader? And if I'm a follower, I don't want to be leading a bunch of people, but I'd be willing to come alongside the leader and help them out. I hope a lot of these things today that you've learned and we've talked about today will benefit you. What I hope will benefit you more is that if you really want to understand and be influenced, come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. He'll be the greatest influence you've ever had. And then He can turn that from someone who has been influenced into a leader. A leader for the Church of Jesus Christ. If you are a leader in life, in your family, in your work, I hope and pray that you will take the principles of God's Word and let it be your influence so that you can be an influence for others. As we get ready and stand and sing, I pray today that if you need a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you will truly come forward, declare Him as your Lord and Savior, and be baptized today. So why don't we stand and let's sing together as the worship team leads us in a hymn of invitation. Today, thank you so much for being here, especially those of you who have come out. I'm glad you were here to be our guest with us today. We hope you'll certainly come back again. I hope it was a great experience for you today. A couple of things I do want to make you aware of. The first thing is Easter Sunday is coming up. It is on April Fool's Day, and I've already got some people planning some April Fool's jokes on me, I think. That's what I'm hearing. That's okay. I'm ready for you, though. I'll be ready for you. But we want to continue this Love On initiative that we're talking about. So as you leave today, we're going to have some folks at the doors giving you some invitation cards that you can hand to people to invite them here for Easter Sunday. We'd love to have a great crowd on Easter Sunday as we prepare to celebrate our resurrected Lord with a couple of different elements and so forth. So you'll see Megan, you'll see Dora at the doors. So grab one of those or as many as you want. We've got 100 to start off with. I would love to have to say to Diane on Monday, we need to order more. Okay? So if you know some folks that you want to invite for us to love on, do that. These invite cards can be a catalyst for you to do that. So I hope and pray you'll take as many as you want and invite some folks that you've been wanting to invite to church on Easter Sunday. Don't forget, in a couple weeks, we are having a potluck. As well, with some special elements, I will say that. Okay, it's going to be a little bit different potluck, just FYI there. If you want to learn more about that, you can come talk to me privately about that, and I'll let you know. And then finally, as a part of our Love On initiative, we are continuing to take donations of canned goods and non-perishable food items for the Lexington Food Bank, sponsored over by the First United Methodist Church in town. We're continuing that partnership with them all throughout the year. So please let us know. And then, as John mentioned earlier, we are going to have an egg stuffing party. You said March 24th? That's what the bulletin says. So on March 24th, on Saturday, the 24th, we're going to get together. Anybody that wants to come and help stuff some Easter eggs with candy in it for our Easter egg hunt after church on Easter Sunday. This is when we're going to do that. Rain or shine, either way, okay? If it's going to be raining, like you hear, it's raining outside right now, we'll have it here in the sanctuary and in the fellowship hall areas more than likely, okay? So, is there anything else that I need to make aware of real quick before I dismiss you, everyone? All right. Again, thank you so much for being here, and please invite someone for us to love on next Sunday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for the chance to come into this place to be gathered as your church and to glean from your word and understand that your word has power and influence in our lives. I pray that we will be bold and courageous in sharing that influence with the people around us that are you've put in our lives, from family to co-workers, to neighbors, all need encouragement and hope, Lord. And I pray, God, that we will do that with power and strength in the name of Jesus Christ, in whose name that I offer this prayer. Amen.